Jess in with you this morning. We've been catching up with all of the candidates ahead of the by-election in the Upper Hunter on May 22. At the moment, we have 9 candidates. There are some rumours around town. We could have a couple more before the week is out. But this morning, we're catching up with one of the independents, Tracy Norman. She's from Dungog, has been on Dungog Council since 2012, was mayor for a couple of years as well. And she joins me this morning. Tracy, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Jess. What a beautiful morning.
It is a beautiful morning, and you're in our part of the world today.
I'm in sunny Muswellbrook this morning, having a chat to the to Martin Rush and Fiona Plesman up at council here to find out what I can do to advocate for council while I've got this bit of a microphone for their needs within government ranks, and also to find out, get some insights into the community, because of course local government is the closest government to the community, so you know, they're pretty aware of issues that are affecting the community, so want to make sure that I'm covering lots of issues other than coal.
Yeah, exactly, because there are so many issues in our electorate, and we'll get to that in a moment. But before we start, for our listeners who may not know of Tracy Norman, give us a little bit of background.
All right, so I've been living in the Upper Hunter area over at Salisbury, beautiful Salisbury, near the Barrington Tops, close to Dungog. I've been there since 2003, used to live in Sydney before that, born and bred Sydneyite, but love the country life. So I live there with my partner and 2 dogs and 3 horses and a few chooks. I've got a big agricultural enterprise, got about 3,000 acres, or for those modern people, 1,297 hectares of land that we've got a bit of a mixed farming enterprise going on. So agriculture is very close to my heart, and the issues involved in there and what needs to happen with regenerative agriculture and a few changes of practice for agriculture to make sure of a great future for it. But, you know, I'm comforted to know that there's a lot of people out there on the same wavelength of my, in the industry, and a lot of people on the same wavelength as me. So that's a great thing. I was in Scone yesterday and they were talking about protection of agricultural lands and water, and the two, you know, are pretty close to my heart. So, what else have I got to say? I was on council for 2012. Mayor for, as you say, a couple of years, but in those couple of years, I achieved record funding for Dungog, resolved issues that were decades-long issues at Dungog. It was a hard road, but we did it, and we convinced the government that we were a worthwhile investment. We did put a big special rates variation in, which wasn't overly popular, but the constituents definitely got bang for their buck, because that's when the government came to the party and started taking us a lot more seriously. So, I think I've got a great record in getting stuff for the electorate, for sure.
Mm. Whenever we talk about Dungog, the thing that always comes up is the state of Dungog's roads. Now, I haven't been to Dungog for a while, but I know the last time I was there, the roads were terrible.
Yes, they are. And we are improving that. We've got about $50 million of work on the ground towards our roads and bridges. We've had dreadful problems with the bridges. I managed to get $16 million to replace wooden bridges last time. And we were instrumental in the government's decision to look at reclassifying roads, because Dungog's the only local government area that doesn't have a state road at all, and so all of the roads are in our in council's purview, and it does make it very difficult. And so again, I was in Scone yesterday, and one of their biggest issues is roads and unsealed roads. They've got about 2,000 kilometres of roads and about 900 kilometres of unsealed roads, and they're in a dreadful condition. And the trouble with it's the way we go about getting funding. It's the difficulty with grant funding. It's competitive. It's
it really needs looking at. You know, a heavy vehicle is what damages roads and rain, so we've had plenty of that. But heavy vehicles affect roads a lot more than cars, and yet when the road funding comes about, or some of the road funding comes about, there's a formula that that looks at a movement, a traffic movement, rather than heavy vehicles compared to cars. So the funding just comes out really, really against places like Dungog, where we have a lot of, and no doubt Scone and the others would be affected by exactly the same thing, and no doubt here in Muswellbrook, because I've got my RV parked on one of the main streets and I'm watching truck after truck go by. So I'm assuming you've got the same issues with the way that things are funded as well.
Mm. And Tracy, there's been a lot of talk between all of the candidates about the coal mining industry, and I personally think that I don't think this by-election is going to be won on the coal vote at all. I think it's going to be all of the other issues, because there are so many other issues.
Yes. Look, I think the thing about the coal vote is my platform is very much the coal industry has turned the Upper Hunter into an economic powerhouse, there's no doubt.
Mm.
But there's a limited shelf life, because there's two parts to the equation. The government can bang on as long as they like about we're going to keep selling coal. The other side of it is they have to have a market for it. It's, you know, supply and demand. It's economics 101. The supply's fine. We've got plenty of supply, but we need the demand. And the demand is falling day by day. You know, overseas markets are diminishing. And the idea of new coal mines coming online, they're automating that industry incredibly quickly. So I'm not sure that coal miners are going to be the ones that benefit from that. And then as soon as the bottom falls out the market, you know, these big coal companies, they're not benevolent societies. They'll make an economic decision. And we need to be ready for that. We need to be ready for that time. We need to be transitioning and make sure that we have jobs available and training available in the Upper Hunter for the coal miners and their children.
Exactly. Well, Tracy, we will be catching up with you before May 22, of course, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for your time.